Welcome to the Business Buyer Diaries. My name is Nathan Platter. I'm a full-time employee, and I bought a business. I did everything right, from finding the deal, handling all the due diligence on 63 opportunities, and ultimately bought a profitable gym. And boy, was I in for a big surprise as a new owner. I chronicled everything in real time, including the biggest wins to the stressful nights at 2 a.m. I'm sharing my journey without sugarcoating anything, so you don't make the same mistakes that I did. Here's today's episode.
All right, so today here's how I'm evaluating acquisitions of existing studios. Specific to existing studios, not brand new studios. This one, mindset for the day-to-day diaries, that's not for here, tip edge in it. But when I'm evaluating existing studios, what's very common is that owners are also the doers within the business. What I mean by that, when people buy like a McDonald's or a Burger King, it's assumed that the owner like never cooks burgers, never serves the fries, never fixes the vending machine. They are an absentee owner. That is the assumption with a top tier AAA positive rated system that the owner is making an investment, not buying a job. With smaller mom and pop operations like a landscaping company, roofing company, gym, an auto repair shop, an edible arrangement, there's a weird assumption that people are buying a job. And it's very uncommon that people are buying an investment where they are managing the operation rather than being in the weeds of the day-to-day. So when I'm looking at these studios, I'm looking at fitness studios, they have to take with a grain of salt the amount of hours owners are investing. Because I have so many hours a week that I can invest into a business, and those hours are best spent figuring out sales to hiring, marketing strategy, retention ambitions, upcoming events to make sure members are seen, heard, and cared about. I'm not valuable when I'm leading a class or when I'm running the accounting, or even whenever I am going around and about handing out flyers to prospective members. That's not going to help the gym grow to the size it needs. That's literally my staff and their abilities. So when looking at these studios, I like to just casually, over time, figure out how much owners. You can see it on the P&L when you're looking at the actual payrolls and wages. You'll have two sections. It'll either be like an owner's draw or an owner's salary, and it'll be like a blanket state salary. Or they'll put it somewhere into like the payroll wages. So if they're running, if they're doing like office work 20 hours a week, they're instructing 20 hours a week. They'll probably give themselves a salary for the office work. So they'll give themselves a payroll wage, the instructor hours. It's slightly a different billing. And so look at the payroll wage as well. And by looking at tons and tons of deals, you get a feel for how many things there are. So a typical instructor makes between $10 to $15, maybe $20. And so when you see the total payroll wages and taxes for the month, you'll see, we'll just say like $8,000. Well, $8,000 through 20 classes a month, that's $400 a day. Of $400 a day, you have, let's just say 10, or maybe like 5 classes in the morning, 7. So there's like $50 a class row. So probably in there is the owner giving himself a wage, not just a salary or a withdrawal, but a wage, like a hourly. And so there's probably some money in that section as well. You can always ask the owner, like, hey, how much are you working on it? How many hours are you spending on this? And they're always going to overestimate. They're always just, you know, it's passive, or it's owner absence, or I'm hardly working it. And that's never the case. Even right now, as an absentee owner, I'm still working 10 hours a week. And so you can't ever take their word for it at the end of the day. Reason I bring this all up is now that you have the contribution of time the owner is doing, you need to assume that you will have a manager or someone to backfill that position to get a true business valuation. If you're putting in 40 hours a week as a club manager, well, a club manager is probably $45,000 a year. Look at the total profit and loss of the year, and then subtract off $45,000. That's going to be your cost of having a manager run it. And this was a completely, fully absentee business. Now, most clubs, here's the kicker, an average club in the U.S. they make about $50,000 to $60,000 a year. That means for a fully apt owner, you make maybe $5,000 a year. And you're not working really in absentee hours. You're working in the back of your mind, you're putting out fires, you're spending money on Facebook ads, you're getting feedback on, you're putting this energy, this time investment. Make $5,000? Really? Even if you bought a student for $20,000, which most book value of a studio is like $40,000, so you got for $20,000, that's 4 years to recoup your money. That's 4 years of your life running the back end of your brain of what the operation is doing. That means almost every studio out there is not going to be worthwhile. It's not a good investment. It's better to start from scratch or buy one that's profitable and buy it somehow, some way, somebody else. Most clubs will go under. And then there's open territory. Someone new is going to come in and roll the dice on how they are going to do. That's fine. But you have to know what you're doing if it's going to be a worth. So as I'm looking at clubs number 3 and 4, doing the same process. Look at their profit and losses, their tax returns. It's the end of 2023, so really have tax returns 2021, 2022, not yet 2023. But we can get a year-to-date for the profit and loss, which is like the unofficial profit and loss of the year. And so I know that some conversations with these owners, they're working the business, I don't want to say 20 hours a week. So what would it cost to put in a $20,000 to $30,000 manager to replace this owner? Now, even if I'm an absentee owner, I'm still going to do weekly check-in. I'm still going to be hiring and firing. Still going to be making sure vendors are handled. I'm still running energy into this thing where there's no financial reason. And so let's just pretend all these, let's pretend these studios profit $30,000 a year. And the owners, you're going to cost $3,000 to replace. Okay, this is a break-even endeavor. COVID 2.0 can happen. Fire loss. Snowstorm. Members quit because they miss the owner. Things could go wrong. That's the reality. But also things go right. I could execute better marketing campaigns, sales funnels, retention strategies, pricing and offers. So there's definitely upside. But that's a maybe. And so is the downside. It also. So know what the value is of the staff in the current position. Back out what it would cost to hire someone, train someone, onboard someone, keep that someone. And now you have your actual true profit and loss. And then figure out what the upside actually is. Is it a worthwhile upside? There's going to be cost to that, pursuing that upside. It's going to be time and emotional investment to get up to that potential that you can see. Then is the juice worth the tweet? If your club is making $30,000, and you can see how an annual rate should be making $100,000. But it's going to take a year of your life. It's going to cost $40,000 in new ad spend. It's going to require hiring 2 additional people. There are $40,000 a year each. 2 people at $40,000 each plus $40,000 ad spend. That's $120,000 in cost. If you don't have $120,000 in profit, and those people are going to turn one time a year, maybe that's not a worthwhile endeavor. Maybe that's not enough. Now, in that same scenario, $40,000 ad spend, you raise your prices, you have 2 staff that are $40,000 each. Well, and now there's an extra $240,000 in profit per year. Okay, maybe all that time and energy is worth $100,000 in profit for you as the owner to build that out. And this is something where you can eventually be like a totally absentee owner. Well, maybe that's worthwhile. But you got to back out the time, the energy, the headache, the hassle, the onboarding, the hiring, the firing as an owner, because that buck is stopped with you every single time, no matter what. So you need to have a multiple of upside, not just flat. That's why when people are marketing it, they want a 3x return. You don't just want a 2x, because the 1x is break even, duh. But there's also that the emotional, the mental time and energy to get up to that level. So that's what I'm doing. That's how I'm evaluating these deals. Those are the factors I'm bringing in. Because it's never, they'll always say, oh, it's an open territory. Or all you need to do is, and if you get statements or justifications like that, if it's that simple and that straightforward and that easy, why haven't you done it? Think about it. If all you had to do is spend $20,000 to get $80,000 in revenue, and that's all you have to do, why haven't you owned this business for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years? 20 years, I don't know. And you know exactly what you need to do to make a boatload of money off this thing, but haven't? That either means you're full of crap, or you're just wiped out and you don't have the time and energy to do it, or most likely, there's way more to the up to capture that value and get the upside than what you really say. And it's a lot more work than you're saying on the front end. So looking into the deals, got the documents, haven't dove too far into it. But as I remember how to get into the deals, realizing what I'm learning from studio number one, what I'm learning going into studio number two, something that I also learned from studio number one. The owner did a lot of those one-year memberships. They sell them, they get the revenue, then they sell the business. They get 12 months of revenue, and they have to do 1 month of fulfillment and follow-through work. And now I have 11 months of cost to execute and deliver that value to those members, and they get zero of the revenue. And so they've got to keep that in mind for studio number two. If they're doing a big annual pay-in-full membership sale, they're doing a big push, pay all your money now, and there's no revenue after the fact. Well, I can't take over a gym that has no revenue, lots of fulfillment costs. No, I couldn't have to be brought back into the deal so I can afford to take over studio. Same for studio one, studio two, studio, all across the board. That's where we're at. That's where we're going. Let's rock and roll.
This has been another episode of the Business Buyer Diaries. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. I hope you're realizing that business ownership is no cakewalk. Check the podcast notes for a link to the DIY due diligence program, the complete list of show sponsors, and for media inquiries. Music written and composed by Wes Schrock. I'm your host, Nathan Platter. Join me again on the next one.